If you would turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be looking there in a moment. At home, I have a water softener system that purifies all the water that goes into my house. So any water that we use will be purified through this this salt water softener system. But in order for it to work, you have to put the right thing in it. You have to put salt rocks for a water softener. You cannot put salt rocks for ice cream in there. And you can't put table salt in there. It has to be filled with the right thing in order to purify the water. And spiritually, we have to fill ourselves with the right thing. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with God's Word. Be filled with holiness. And out will come purity, and out will come holiness and what is pleasing to God. But if we put the wrong things in there, the wrong things are going to come out. The point in this passage we're going to talk about is that we need to be filled with the Spirit. And I want to set up this passage by reading just a couple of verses prior to verse 18. I want to start in chapter 5, verse 15 to get the sense. Paul says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So he's making the point here that we need to be circumspect Christians. We need to keep our eyes open, looking for the dangers that come about us, and watching every step that we take to be very careful and to make the most of all of our time. Very important thoughts. And then he says in verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation." And just pause there. So we're reading here about what not to be filled with. He gives us an example. He says, "Do not be filled with wine." Now, I could talk about the sin of drinking, and we could go to many passages, and I'll just say that the Bible does have a lot to say on that subject, but that's not the main point of what we're going to talk about tonight. I think that drunkenness is used here as kind of the sum of the idea of carelessness and of foolishness and of wasteful use of your life. And because he says, "For that is dissipation." And your version may not have that particular word dissipation, but in Greek, the idea of that word is overindulgence and excess and riot and wasteful use. So I think the key word there is waste. So whatever you fill your life with and fill your heart with, don't let it be something that will be a waste of your life and lead to ruin and destruction. And that could be things that are sinful. Drunkenness is one example, but it could be other things. It could be things that are not necessarily sinful inherently, but if you let it fill up your life and your time and your passion to the exclusion of that without God's Word, then it will end up being a waste. It will be dissipation. And then we see in the second half of verse 18 what to be filled with, or the very last part of verse 18, "but be filled with the Spirit." Now, when I read that, I realize that it may almost sound to many of us as, well, that's something that only happened in the Bible days. Being filled with the Spirit, that's something miraculous. That's something mystical. We can't do that today in this way. But I believe that there is nothing mystical or miraculous about it. That we can and must be filled with the Spirit. And we do that through God's Word. The Spirit has revealed God's Word, and that is what we feel in our hearts. If you look in chapter 1 of Ephesians and verse 13, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." So what is it that designates and marks us with the Holy Spirit? How do we receive the Spirit? Well, we listen to the message of truth and we believe it. It's very simple. Look in chapter 6 and verse 17. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is what? The Word of God. That is the sword of the Spirit. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Be filled with God's Word. Meditate on it. Think about it. Dwell on it. Read it. Pray about it. Apply it to your life. And out from that will bubble forth just lives of service to God and pleasing Him. So we need to be filled. That is a very important concept. Galatians 5 talks a lot about being filled with the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. Barnabas was a man full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And so when you go to the gas station and fill up your car, you don't fill it up just halfway and stop. You know, unless you have a good reason for it, you're going to fill it up all the way. It's not really full unless you fill the tank up all the way. When you're eating, you're not satisfied until you are full. You might stop before that because you know you should. But you eat until you're full. That's when you are satisfied. And so we have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And it's this idea of we need to fill ourselves with the Spirit. Just be filled up with it. As much as you can get. And I want to see in verses 19 through 20, I want to talk about the manifestations of a Spirit-filled life. And we're going to kind of focus on these for the rest of my talk. I learned a fancy word for me, the word apposition. Not opposition, but apposition. And I think it's more or less a grammatical construction where there are two elements that modify or define one another. And so here we have three participles, words that begin with ing, speaking, singing, giving thanks, that modify or add information about what being filled with the Spirit is all about. And some really wonderful lessons here. The first one, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We need to sing to each other. If you are filled with the Spirit, if you're filled with an understanding of God's Word, then that is going to be a natural expression. It's going to be a natural consequence of something that is in your heart that you want to get out. You're going to want to sing to one another. And I think that that's an interesting concept. I talked today to Richard Hammond a lot about this idea of singing to one another. We often maybe not think of it that way. We think of the aspect of singing to God, which is very true. But we are also singing to one another. And we are speaking, we are instructing one another. You know, Colossians 3, the parallel, talks about there the aspect of instruction. And so, how do we do that? Well, I think when you are singing, you need to set your mind on the fact that you're not just, you're singing to yourself and by yourself. You are singing to other people. And that may be sometimes difficult when you're looking at the back of people's heads. But I want you to think about that. At Corinth, not the ancient Corinth in Achaia, but in Athens, Alabama, the Corinth Church of Christ is situated a bit oddly. The pews are facing one another, directly across one, facing inside to the pulpit. And they're on either side like this. So if I was preaching, I'd be looking over here at the pulpits, the pews facing this way and facing that way. And so when you are singing, especially if you're on the front row, you are looking directly at people. And it's almost like sometimes people feel like, I think it's a bit of an invasion of privacy. Don't look at me while I'm singing. And people won't make eye contact. But I found it very encouraging, and I would want to make eye contact. I would long for that kind of, because it gave me more the sense that they are singing to me and I'm singing to them. The second manifestation here is also singing. It is singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And so he mentions singing twice here as a manifestation of the Spirit. So I think that's a very important thing that we do. It's kind of like I think of a soda bottle that you just shake it up. And then when you open the top, it's just going to come out. It's just going to spew forth. If we are filled with the Spirit and we just kind of shake it up, then it's going to come out. And that is one of the ways that we express it is we sing. We sing to one another. We sing to God. And that's really a beautiful thought, singing to the Lord. I think of Paul and Silas in prison in Philippi, you know, Acts chapter 16, and they are singing to God. They're also singing to one another, and the jail keepers heard them singing. And that is something that we can do when we're all alone. You know, we sing to God. And we do that when we come together. But God only hears what comes from the heart, making melody in your heart to the Lord. I often wonder, what if we stopped singing when we didn't really mean it? And we only sang what really came from our heart. What if we did that tonight? I'm not suggesting we do that. But what if you did and you honestly stopped singing if you weren't thinking about the words? I think probably some of us might not sing many of the songs or many of the verses in the songs because our minds drift. Mine does. And so it's very important that we realize that only what is coming from our heart will God accept and will God hear. It's a very powerful thought. And it's the idea of singing with emotion. And I feel like personally that this may be lacking in churches in general, churches of Christ. And I'm not suggesting that we need to go on the opposite extreme and be rolling on the floor. But I am suggesting that we not feel barred and restricted to not be able to express our emotion. Because singing is a very emotional thing. You think of someone who's performing music and they are closing their eyes. We close our eyes when we pray. That's to help us concentrate. There's nothing wrong with doing that while you're singing. And with expressing your emotion. And I think it's very necessary that we do that and worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, really, Richard Hammond, he's just a great example to me. I enjoyed today, and Ann, of course. But Richard does most of the talking. He's not here tonight, so I can say that. But he really encouraged me because he would talk about these things. And I think about these things a lot. It was really helpful to talk to someone that feels the same way. And that is so important too. And he made the point that some of these songs that we sing are so meaningful and so deep and so powerful that if we really thought about them as we were singing them, it might be hard to actually get through the song. Because our emotions would overtake us so much that we couldn't even hardly get the words out. Because it was so emotional. So I want to encourage you, think about the words. I want to encourage myself, think about the words. It's something that I can grow into. And I do want to mention as a side note, we don't see any mention here of instruments. And this is a passage that we go to as a proof text of the fact that we don't need instruments in worshiping, that it is actually an addition to God's Word. And that is true. But I don't think that we need to only think about that aspect of these verses. Very often we just think of this as a proof text. But this is a beautiful expression of the Spirit in our hearts. And then the third manifestation of a Spirit-filled life is always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. Look at the way this sentence is constructed. Always giving thanks for all things. You think of someone who is filled with the Spirit and they're filled with God's Word and they have implanted that Word in their heart and they understand spiritual reality, then it's going to be a natural expression of their heart to give thanks because they realize just how empty we are without God and how fortunate and lucky that we are to have all the blessings that we have in Christ and in God, all the spiritual blessings and all the physical blessings. And we ought to just be giving God thanks all the time. And in prayer, the words thank you need to come out of our mouths very often. And sometimes they do not. Sometimes those words don't come out of our mouth enough. And God answers our prayers, but we may not always thank Him for answering. Maybe we're thankful, but we don't tell Him. And so the idea here is not just being thankful, but it is expressing that gratitude. And that is something that is in common with all of these manifestations of the Spirit is that it is an outward expression of inner joy. And so, very, very important to do that. If you're thankful, tell God. And it says, be thankful for all things. You know, not just the good things. All things includes the bad things, the trials. You know, I think of Peter and the apostles in Acts 5 and verses 40 and 41 when they were scourged and released, that they went away rejoicing, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. You know, even things like that we can be thankful for. Be thankful for everything that God gives us, the spiritual things, the physical things, everything. And I find myself complaining. You know, I feel kind of bad. We got together on Friday night with some people here, and I felt like I was complaining some. And I thought about that night, and I thought, I have really no reason to complain. I think about how much worse things could be. I think about how much people here, your best days are worse than my worst days because you're just struggling to get through sometimes. And it's very selfish to complain. And it's a really good positive way to live, to just always be gracious, to have gratitude for all things, to give thanks. Now, those are three ways that the Spirit manifests itself in our lives. They're not the only ways. This is not meant to say this is the only way the Spirit impacts our lives, but I think these things serve as an example to make the point that we need to open our hearts to the Spirit's influence through God's Word, that we allow the Spirit to fully impact our lives and allow its power to just take over. And so, in conclusion, I just want to say that there's nothing mystical about the Spirit being in our lives, about being filled with the Spirit. It's simply a matter of going to God's Word and making it a part of your heart and a part of your life. And we need to do it. Be filled with the Spirit. And this will cause us to turn away from sin that would just lead to waste and cause us to embrace lives of gratitude and mutual edification. And like the illustration that I used at the beginning of the water softener, that is like your heart. And if you do not put the right things in your heart, and you do not fill it with the Spirit and with God's Word, then what will come out will not be pure, just like the water softener. You have to put the right thing in it, and out will come pure water that is not contaminated. We have to do that with our heart and fill it with God's Word.